Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 519. Science Faction, Science Fighters.
Oh, God damn it. I'm terrified to say anything because I just know I'm going to be on the wrong side. Who is it this week?
So this is, of course, our bit, Science Fighters vs. Science Fighters, which we will get to in a second. But first, I wanted to once again thank all of our patrons who are supporting this show so that everybody gets to listen. And so that hopefully we can get our scientists back on soon by getting some new equipment to send them out. Thank you guys so much. It is really, really appreciated. It's fantastic to see those numbers going up every single day. We greatly appreciate you guys. And of course, you guys do get some benefits, not only all that sweet swag that you are getting, even in the lower tiers, including that KN95 masks. But on top of that, you are, of course, getting iCall BS. So if you guys are listening to this on our regular feed and you're wondering, hey, what happened to iCall BS? I always angered me how little Damien actually tried, but I did like learning all that new science, those four new science articles every single week. So I kind of miss it. It is our Patreon-only episode now that comes out on Thursday. So you can only get that if you sign up for our Patreon, but you do get it at any level.
If you learned anything in iCall BS, I didn't do my job.
That's kind of your motto in life. All right, let's move right on to Science Fighters.
Science Fighters and Science Fighters. Which side are you on? It's a little confusing, I know. It's a double entendre. You know what? Just listen. You'll like it.
Okay, so Damien, as we've talked about before, this is Science Fighters. Now, last week we did Tim White, who was a science fighter, but this week we're going to do a science fighter.
Oh, okay. Who is it? And I'm going to guess.
It is Greenpeace.
Greenpeace. Oh, you know what? I know for a fact they've been on our shit list before, but I think this time they've made it up. Go Greenpeace.
No, Damien, I told you, they're a science fighter.
But you say it the exact same way every time. There is no different inflection, and I'm tired of you gaslighting me.
I'm going to start getting close to a million emails about this bit now, too. Now, by the way, our Thursday show is not going to just be a Science Fighters show. I wanted to do this one because last week we did, obviously, one side of Science Fighters. And so this week I wanted to do the other side, somebody who's not fighting for science, but fighting against science, to show you guys how it's done. And then we will circulate on to another bit next week. After about four or five bits, we'll start giving all of our patrons the ability to decide which bit will be next. So they will get to vote on it. And if you guys feel like getting in that, if you want every week to be Science Fighters or Miss Reports or one of the other many bits we're going to bring back, you guys will get to tell us what you want to do from our Patreon page.
I like to look up and see several men with their bits out,
yes,
and exposed, and let's just say excited in front of me.
Yeah, a chandelier of bits, if you will.
That's fan art I want to see.
So, we're doing Greenpeace. Some of you have listened to our show long enough will have heard part of this story before, but I wanted to inform you not only to reiterate those very important parts we have talked about, but also to give a very important update that you here listening might be able to use to make the world a better place. And I mean this literally. The stuff you are going to learn in this episode in less than a year's time might literally help you also fight for science against Greenpeace and help save lives. So even though we have covered parts of Greenpeace before and their science fighting ways, we want to make sure we reiterate it as something very important is about to happen coming up in 2021. Now, first disclaimer, I used to be a big supporter of Greenpeace. I used to actually give money to Greenpeace. They were one of the few charities that I would actually give cash to. By the way, when I did not have very much cash, when I was like in my 20s and did not have very much money.
Well, I mean, you subscribe to their OnlyFans. let's not. I mean, yeah, you gave them cash, but you jerked it.
Give me a green piece of that.
All right, that's the joke. Just end the episode. That is...
That's the episode title. So I gave them money because I want the Earth to be around in the future. And I think climate change is the most pressing issue of our time. And frankly, to be perfectly honest, I loved watching that TV show where they threw rancid butter at Japanese whalers. Like, that was my fucking favorite. I love that shit.
Your joke is on you. We eat whale fat.
But My eyes were first opened to the science-fighting nature of this organization with an event that we covered in real time when it happened on this show back in 2014 with the destruction of Peru's famous Nazca lines and the subsequent cover-up. So, for those of you guys who don't know, there was a big meeting of world leaders in Peru at that time, and in order to protest climate change and stuff, Greenpeace went out to the Nazca lines, which they knew some of these leaders would be flying over, and they put a big sign out there basically calling attention to climate change. Here is the problem. The Nazca lines, which are some of the most amazing archaeological remnants in South America, they are gigantic geoglyphs in which what we call negative geoglyphs, where they take desert pavement, if you imagine just flat areas of just rock, this kind of dark rock everywhere, to make a picture, all you have to do is kind of move the rocks aside. That's making a walking trail, essentially. And they would draw these huge, beautifully intricate geometric pictures and animal designs, hummingbirds, all these different kinds of things. They were amazing. And they were priceless archaeological sites, some of which, by the way, still haven't been discovered. And in order to get anywhere near them, I actually did my undergrad field work in Peru for a field school. And in order to get near them, you have to wear these very special shoes that are like carpets on your feet so you don't disturb stuff. You have to go out with somebody who knows where to walk and where not to. You can't just go running out on them. And they just went running out on them. And they literally destroyed parts of one of the greatest archaeological sites on the face of the earth. And they did so to make a political point, again, one that before this 2014 thing I totally agreed with. They did so to make a political point, and then when they got caught doing it, Greenpeace pulled a Catholic church and paid to...
molested a bunch of kids.
Yes, sort of. They did what happens when the Catholic Church gets caught molesting kids. They paid to sneak these people out of the country before Peru could prosecute them for their obvious crime. And eventually Greenpeace finally gave up months later and was like, fine, I guess we'll send them back to, you know, face justice or whatever, but fuck you guys. And they totally acted like it was no big deal, like they hadn't really done anything wrong. It was one of those like, well, maybe we shouldn't have done it, but you know we're right, blah, 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 blah. It was the biggest eye-opener of, oh, these are narcissist pieces of shit. And I immediately, from that point on, never gave another dime. Little did I know that actually that wasn't the beginning of them acting shitty. That was the tail end of them doing something much, much, much worse. Dr. Troy and I actually had a conversation about this. And once you hear this story, I think you will be basically as mad at Greenpeace as I currently am. So it starts with a worldwide problem that mainly affects poor areas in South Asia, Southeast Asia, and most importantly, Africa. That's where most of this is. And that problem is
Super Bowl t-shirts flooding the market with a losing team.
That's right. Or like the campaign slogans for presidents who lost the election.
Yeah. There's a ton of Trump 2020 t-shirts.
They still have Dewey t-shirts.
Mondale, Walter Mondale.
So this problem, which affects a lot of poor areas, a lot of poor people, is vitamin A deficiency. We get vitamin A from our foods, especially our body makes it from beta carotene, from things like carrots, but also other fruits. And most of our foods in the Western world are fortified. But poor people, especially children, when they don't get it, very bad shit happens. Specifically, death. In fact, 670,000 children under the age of 5 die every year. I'm going to repeat that. Almost 700,000 kids under the age of 5 die every single year. 1 to 2 million people overall die every single year because of a vitamin A deficiency. And 500,000 kids under the age of 5 are blinded, permanently blinded every year because they don't get enough vitamin A. This is a big deal. This is a huge source of misery throughout the world. This kills way more people than we are seeing. Like we talked the other day about, you know, like polio rising and...
Yeah, but the flu kills 3 billion people.
What? That's it. That's half the population. That's not true. So thankfully, some researchers starting in the late 90s and early 2000s thought of an ingenious solution, which is to take a crop that is eaten in these areas a lot, rice, which does not have vitamin A in the rice itself, but does have vitamin A, or more accurately, I should say, beta carotene, which our body synthesizes into vitamin A. It has beta carotene in the leaves of the rice plant. It just doesn't have it in the rice itself. And so they came up with this idea of golden rice, which is a genetically modified organism of rice, which allows the rice itself to carry that same gene. Again, by the way, they're not importing genes. They're just changing it from the leaf of the plant to the grain of the plant. And that way, the rice itself produces beta carotene, which then people eating it can use to turn into vitamin A. Then they, after a little bit of development, they actually improved it to Golden Rice 2, which actually had 20 times as much vitamin A as the first version of Golden Rice, and had so much vitamin A that a single bowl of it would satisfy the requirements of vitamin A for these kids, and far less than a bowl of it would keep a lot of kids from dying and keep a lot of kids from going blind. It was touted as one of the greatest scientific achievements of the early 2000s. When I first saw the information about this coming out, I thought, this is amazing. We're literally going to save, you know, 1. Some odd million lives a year, another 500,000 not going blind. This is one of the most fantastic inventions of mankind. Go science. Way to go. Greenpeace saw this and went, fuck poor people. And I mean that. They basically said, fuck poor people.
Well, they classed it up with GMOs, that's not natural. Poor people would rather die than eat not natural food.
You think Damien is joking right now? That is basically their stance. Now, their idea was, they first tried to say, well, listen, you're going to screw over these farmers. And immediately the scientific community went, no. We're not even going to charge them. We're going to give this away to them for free. We're going to give all the farmers the seed crop for free. They can grow it as much as they want, up to like a $10,000 amount. After that, it becomes commercial, but way more than for like a whole village, you can grow this much rice per year. We're giving it to you for free. We're not charging you a dime. It is literally cheaper than just getting regular rice in order to save a million plus lives a year. We are going to do this as a gesture of humanity and charity in the community. And Greenpeace basically said, listen, we understand that this is safe. They tried to find problems with it. They couldn't, because again, they just switched some genes around in the plant. They didn't even add any. They tried to find some problems with it. They couldn't. And so their basic stance was, listen, there may not be anything wrong with this rice, but if people start planting it and it's successful, then they're going to want to be accepting of GMOs. And that goes against our political philosophy. And therefore, we cannot allow that to happen. If this sounds like a fucking supervillain to you, it is. Because then Greenpeace waged a multi-million dollar campaign to pressure governments, individuals, farmers, businesses to not accept this rice, to make it illegal, to jam up the political throughways that allow things to go. They would incite people in the Philippines to literally go and burn down crop testing areas there they were trying to grow this to see how it grew in the climate, and demanded that governments basically ban the importation of it. Again, they spent millions of dollars to make sure poor people keep dying in Africa and India and Southeast Asia. Greenpeace.
Well, Bobby, sometimes you gotta break a few eggs to make suburban women feel good about their decisions.
Yes,
in America.
Totally. And here's the thing. Greenpeace like gets their money basically from slave labor. Like when you think about it, it's basically slave labor people pandering to wealthy people outside of Whole Foods. That's how they collect their money. So they use slave labor to collect money from guilty rich white people to kill poor dark people. That is literally what they did. And that is why I want to, one, advise you to never give a dime to that piece of shit organization ever again. This is an immoral, disgusting act that is based upon scientific ignorance and an idea that a quote-unquote GMO is a bad thing, something we've covered, I think, with Bill and Dr. Troy and many, many other people. Everything is a GMO. Every plant you eat is genetically modified, usually in a way that's much more detrimental and dangerous than what's done in a lab. Certainly what's much more detrimental and dangerous than done with golden rice. This is a massive, massive tragedy that was run as a huge disinformation campaign that Greenpeace facilitated. And it doesn't just work on stupid people, because this was such a successful campaign and was aimed sometimes at certain academics in certain fields. Again, you couldn't aim it at any like biology fields because they could see through it right away. But it actually took hold in major universities. And it was one of the things that, like, as a, like, privately, it ended up creating a little bit of a rift between myself and one of my mentors who was a professor at UCSD. And it, you know, we're still friends and whatnot, but it certainly created a little bit of a rift because in talking to one of my students, the students that we shared at a field school, one of them brought up, you know, like Golden Rice was a failure. And I was like, no, hold on. Golden Rice was a total success. Greenpeace literally killed millions of people by keeping it out of and blah, 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 blah. And she looked really confused. And then she brought up a few things that were completely untrue about other stuff. And I pointed out that they were untrue and it was full of shit. And she looked really confused and started looking around. I was like, what teacher told you this? And she told me the name of another professor there. And I was like, all right, I got to figure out who this bitch is. And so I start doing research and I call up my professor. And I was like, hey, man, something wrong in your department because your kids are learning bullshit. And he's like, it's not bullshit. It's totally true. And I realized that he was also into this. And I realized the entire anthro program at UCSD had fallen into this weird naturalistic fallacy, Greenpeace, anti-GMO bullshit, where they were literally defending what is the murder of 1 to 2 million people every single year, many of them children, the blinding of 500 children under five a year permanently for the rest of their life, because it didn't go along with a bullshit naturalistic fallacy mentality. So this has permeated past just dumb soccer moms, you know, trying to sell their herbal life into a real thing. And there are generations of students graduating from the most prestigious research university within 200 miles of where Damien and I are sitting who believe that this is true. And they were taught this formally by professors who were very accomplished in their field, who, by the way, I otherwise respect greatly and who are excellent professors at what they otherwise do.
But that's the thing. I don't blame you for being a smart person for taking in bad information. I blame you. And I think this is something that should go against your smart person card.
Sure.
You know, like, hey, we got, you know, hey, guess what? Your UC degree is now a state college degree.
I mean, is that
if somebody comes up to you with real information and you as a student have all the tools to look it up and you still say, nah, I'd rather believe in flat earth.
Yeah. But what if your geology professor is telling you the earth is flat? Like, that is a hard thing then.
Okay, but then I'd say then your geology professor has his card revoked in front of everybody. It's like it's like a court martial. They punch it in front of everybody. Oh. I'd say you were given every chance to stop believing stupid shit, and you refused.
Yeah, I mean it was heartbreaking for me because it led to a multi-hour discussions over the phone with this guy who's, again, he's a mentor of mine. He's a great field worker. He's a guy I think of as a friend of my family and my son and like all this stuff. And it was really heartbreaking, and it has led to a bit of.
But it wasn't his response just like, yeah, but you bring up great points, but magic.
Well, we would debate back and forth, and some of the stuff he seemed to seed on and some of the stuff he didn't. I will tell you though, the greatest response is when I informed Dr. Troy of all of this, and he was like, no, I am going there right now. I am going to go to UCSD today and fucking fix. Like, Dr. Troy looked at this the way the A team looked at a kidnapped child in the 80s. Like, he was going to jump into a van and fix this fucking situation.
I'm picturing the door being kicked open in the anthro department.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dear. So you might ask, what?
I came in here to kick ass and cite articles.
And I'm all out of articles. That's great. So you might ask, what about my intro leading up to this? What was it that is going to happen? Because, by the way, this all happened in the mid-2000s and into early 2010s and stuff. So this is all kind of washed over.
2014 was the Nazca line.
Yes. And this is all washed over. And basically, Golden Rice was almost banned from most countries. It wasn't allowed to be imported, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I bring this up because 2021 is the expected date for the beginning of a similar campaign in Africa for a similar crop, golden bananas. These are bananas which are infused with vitamin A or beta carotene that causes vitamin A and iron, by the way, two things that are highly deficient in this part of Africa, as we just talked about, which kill millions of people a year and cause a lot of blindness. Again, something that will help a lot of people. This part of Uganda, basically bananas are the staple crop, so they have kind of geared it towards this particular thing. The technology was developed around 2017 and is set to be released in Uganda in 2021. Again, who knows if that'll still happen because of COVID and all of that stuff, but undoubtedly you will see another incredibly well-funded disinformation campaign waged by Greenpeace in regards to it in the coming year. I want you to know about it so it does not work on you, but also so that you can intelligently defend it when it comes up on social media, because people will look at these GMO bananas. First of all, motherfucker, all bananas are GMO. We call them Cavendish bananas for a reason. Like, they're all fucking GMOs. And second of all, shut the fuck up unless you plan on somehow saving 1 million Africans and keeping another 500,000 from going blind.
I think you're going about this the wrong way, Bobby. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. I think if Godzilla is about to attack the city, we don't get the army. We get another Godzilla. We get Mecha Godzilla to attack him. So I say what we do is we go into the Chick-fil-A headquarters, be like, hey, another American company is going in with their ideals into Africa, and they think they can kill way more Africans than you can, Chick-fil-A.
It would be like somebody going in and being like, no, how dare Bill Gates go and bring malaria nets? We're going to keep those out. You stop with your colonial imperialism that's trying to save the lives of millions of people. Fuck you.
At Chick-fil-A, us at Chick-fil-A, are you saying that Greenpeace could possibly be killing some percentage of homosexual Africans? That is our thing.
Yeah, so this, you will undoubtedly see this. Greenpeace will likely fight this tooth and nail. Because again, like they say, they have no dispute that golden rice was totally safe and could have helped people in vitamin A. Their whole thing was, hey, if people start adopting GMOs, then our political philosophy goes out the window. So they are literally a supervillain in this sense. And they are an incredibly well-funded supervillain who gets to hide behind a name that myself, up until their Basque Alliance in 2014, did not realize was a supervillain and actually supported financially.
Well, it's okay. I mean, they still have the right position on nuclear power, right? I mean, like, they still could fall back on that.
Yeah, that is bad. Well, not only that. So this isn't even the only instances of this happening. In prepping this, I actually was doing some research and found some more instances of Greenpeace doing this type of stuff. They also supported and advised on a batshit crazy policy adopted by the Zambian government to reject all food aid that contained GM crops or foods derived from GM crops. This, as literally thousands of people in that country starved to death, and an international aid organizations tried desperately to get them these seeds for a special type of GM maize that would grow in their hard environment where otherwise they could not grow the regular type of maize that we would grow here in the States. This GM maize variant could have grown in like the desert part of Zambia, especially in the places where people were having issues, and it would have matured fast and basically solved a lot of the starvation problems. They had truckloads of this seed stuff ready to go to be dropped off, and Greenpeace basically bought off the Zambian government to say that, no, you can't bring this shit in here. And thousands of people starved to death, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of Zambians literally starved to death as Greenpeace sat there twiddling their lily white thumbs going, look how great we are by stopping GM crops from going into Africa. It is fucking crazy how evil these people are.
I would love to see some sort of like live debate, like Anderson Cooper type thing where like you don't let them escape and you demand answers on this. And every time they cut to their bullshit, trying to talk to a science that very few people know about, to include them,
yes.
I'd like to add, you're just there, no, idiot. And then just everybody go on your phone and Google this right now.
Here's what I think we should do. I think we should do it as a science faction project. We tell them we're going to do this like a team face off, right? You bring your three, we'll bring our three. It's me, you, and DT. We go in there. I be like the front man, you know, who makes the pitch and does the stuff. If any time the real hard genetic science comes out, I point my way over to Dr. Troy. He lays down the smack. And the entire time, you're like Lil Jon. You just like, oh, yeah.
Oh, Greenpeace. I was not brought up here to contribute intellectually.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we came dressed as waiters because you just got your ass served.
Oh, I'm going to break dance. Actually, our third member just injured himself pretty severely trying to break dance. Time out. We'll re-record. We'll throw this again.
Yeah. All right. We'll have to talk to DT about that, see if we can't get that going. Oh, yeah. And regardless, I just wanted to let you guys know, because prepare to start seeing this stuff in 2021. They will undoubtedly, you know, ramp up their publicity program with their millions of dollars behind them. And again, the name of Greenpeace that is seen as so beneficial and so benevolent. And so keep this in mind. And by the way, do what I do, which is scream this as loudly as you possibly can at anybody who tries to collect project money for Greenpeace outside of Whole Foods. I have actually stopped just saying I won't give you money, and I've started pestering them until they walk away. Hey, tell me about the Nazca lines. What do you guys do about that? Hey, how about vitamin A infused stuff? How do you feel about contributing? You right now are collecting money to try and kill millions of people every single year, mostly black and brown children under the age of 5. How do you feel about that? You fucking get off on that?
I would go further just to say, because these are people who don't care about their job. You know, like, oh, really? You just need a minimum wage job, but like what? You just like bothering people? You
no,
just, like,
I think
that...
a lot of them are ideologues who believe that, like, similar to I was before 2014, when I would give money to them, they believe they're doing the right thing. I think if you told enough of them what Greenpeace is actually doing, they would throw those fucking clipboards to the ground, toss their little nameplate down, call up their supervisor, tell them to fuck themselves and walk away and go work at Jiffy Lube.
When I was in college, I was given, like, there are, like, left-leaning groups, and they'll work for, like, Greenpeace, Amnesty International. Yeah. There's, like, a list of, you know, organizations that don't do a lot, but, you know, have a lot of prestige, and they're on that list. But, like, it really is just, they get people like, hey, you want to do the right thing? And these are people who aren't, like, usually super informed, but, like, think they're helping. My thing was, like, I tried to do this job, and I was like, hey, in college, I can make a difference. I tried it for one day, and I was like, oh my God, I'm a villain. I'm just bothering people trying to get out of the store.
That's true.
And like also, like 60% of this money goes to this organization. Only like 40% of the money that you'll donate actually goes to your target organization.
Oh yeah, they do a bunch of shady shit. Not only is that true, they take like more than half of the money that goes to it just for their salaries and stuff, which sometimes, you know, can be justified. Like sometimes you need to have good people in an organization to make it work. But there are things like the head of Greenpeace for a while was commuting 250 miles by plane to work every day. And as we've talked about before, plane travel is far and away the biggest carbon footprint you can put out. So he was essentially putting out like 200 people's normal carbon footprint just to get to and from work in a year. The motherfucker, like, clearly didn't actually care about what they claimed to care about.
Was I gonna ride a bike from upstate New York all the way to Manhattan? Come on.
No, when they got criticism for it, he's like, oh, I guess I could take this train that easily covers the same boundary. They no longer can do it anymore. It's so seedy. It sounds like a fucking movie about a group that is trying to look like the good guy and being a bad guy, but it's fucking real, and they kill over a million poor children a year. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Science Faction 519, where you learned all about how Greenpeace is a science fighter. And hopefully next year, as they keep trying to take away golden bananas, you can come out and be a science fighter instead.
And the nominees for Most Outstanding Evil Award Organization are the Legion of Doom for their cancer beam, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants for 9/11/2, ISIS for 2016, and Greenpeace for a list too long to distinguish. And the winner is... the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.